From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. In June, Holocaust victim and diarist Anne Frank would have turned 90. Her story lives on, but research shows that knowledge of the Holocaust is fading in the collective American memory. Spring of Remembrance, a host of events focused on lessons of the Holocaust, is meant to counter that effect. One of them is Chesapeake Shakespeare Company's The Diary of Anne Frank. We meet actor Leslie Malin and director Eve Mewson. And Reggie Phoenix, who directs Anne and Emmett at Morgan Theater, an imaginary conversation between Anne Frank and Emmett Till, distills that play's universal message.
If we don't actively participate and engage civically, we're wasting our voice, we're wasting our boat, we're wasting our ability to actually impact the world we live in.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. A study released by the Conference on Jewish Material Claims Against Germany last year found that 11% of U.S. adults, among millennials 22%, don't know about the Holocaust, either, quote, haven't heard, or, quote, are not sure if they have heard about the Holocaust. The study also revealed that nearly half of all Americans and more than half of millennials cannot say what Auschwitz was. It was the largest of the Nazi concentration and death camps. More than 1 million people died there. Learning about this study is part of what prompted Leslie Malin, performer and managing director at Chesapeake Shakespeare Company, to organize the Spring of Remembrance in Baltimore. Spring of Remembrance is a collection of arts presentations about the universal lessons of the Holocaust and honoring the memory of Holocaust victim and diarist Anne Frank, who would have been 90 years old this June. Leslie Malin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sheila. I'm delighted to be here.
And also with us is Eve Mewson, Associate Professor of Theater and the head of the BFA Acting Program at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. She's also the Principal Director for Girl Parts, UMBC's Festival of New Plays by Women. Welcome, Eve.
Thank you very much.
Leslie, tell us more about the idea for Spring of Remembrance, how it came to you, why it's important.
Well, as we were starting to work with The Diary of Anne Frank, we're very interested in community
The Diary of Anne Frank, the play that Chesapeake
Shakespeare will be opening on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And we were very interested in community partnerships, and so we started reaching out to some natural partners like the Jewish Museum. And as we did, we found out that more and more cultural institutions just happened this spring to be doing exhibits or presentations related to the Holocaust. And it turned out to be about 8 different cultural organizations are doing various and sundry things about the Holocaust. And so we basically galvanized everybody together to work together to publicize it and make sure that we could use our collective power of the press and our collective marketing power to make sure that everybody knows about it. And Visit Baltimore was very supportive of that, and we've gotten an extraordinary response to it.
There's much to be explored in remembering the Holocaust, but what is it about the spring of 2019?
I think it's the rise of anti-Semitism, which we all can see happening, and certainly the terrible shooting in Pittsburgh has been quite frightening. So I think that all of these organizations recognize that threat to Jews, which sometimes I call them the canary in the coal mine.
So tell us about these organizations participating in Spring of Remembrance.
I would love to. The Jewish Museum of Maryland is doing an exhibit about a Jewish dress designer who died in the Holocaust called Stitching History from the Holocaust. Morgan State University's theater department is doing a play called Anne and Emmett. The Gordon Center for Performing Arts at the Jewish Community Center, we're actually sponsoring this, is Anne Frank, a private photo album, which is photos that Otto Frank took of his family, and it's about 60 photos that
her
are very
father.
Rarely... Yes, her father, before they went into hiding, and that will be on exhibit all through May. The American Visionary Arts Museum has a display of quilts called Esther and the Dream of One Loving Human Family, which goes beyond and also deals with issues like Rwanda and other issues of genocide. And the Baltimore Museum of Art, of course, has a magnificent exhibition called Monsters and Myths, Surrealism and War in the 1930s and 40s. And then finally, the Anne Frank Center for Mutual Respect has partnered with
Oculus.
That's
in New York, right?
Yes, it is. And they've been a wonderful resource for us. And they have paired us with Oculus, the virtual reality company, which has donated headsets so that everyone can have a virtual reality tour of the secret annex where Anne and her family hid for 2 years. And that's before the show at every performance. And then those headsets will be donated to the Jewish Museum.
Eve Musin, you are directing Chesapeake Shakespeare Company's presentation of the Diary of Anne Frank. Many listeners may be familiar, maybe some aren't. Give us a brief overview.
Well, The Diary of Anne Frank, the play, is an adaptation of the original A Diary of Anne Frank, The Diary of a Young Girl, that was published in English in 1952 and then made into a play in 1955 and readapted in 1997. And that's the version that we're doing. So what we see is a group of scenes that span the time of the Frank family and the Van Dahn family arriving at the secret annex, which is an attic back of building of Otto Frank's business in Amsterdam that Otto Frank renovated to hide his family in. He was a very good planner and knew bad things were coming and set up this space to hide him and the family of his business partner. So the very first scene is we see the Frank family entering this space, inhabiting it, and we go through scenes that show different aspects of the two and some quarter years that they lived there without ever going outside. Having to be incredibly quiet while there are workers downstairs because it was a working office and warehouse building, until the very last scene, or the second to last scene, where the family is arrested. They were betrayed by somebody, who probably a factory worker, and a Nazi officer and two Dutch collaborators came, busted in to the house and arrested them. And then the very last part of the play, this little epilogue, is Mr. Frank returns to the annex. He's the only survivor of the eight people who lived in the annex in real life and in the play. And as in real life, he returns to the annex and we hear him speak about what happened to them afterwards. Because, of course, Anne's diary, which she received as a birthday present when she was 13, just a few weeks before they went into hiding, and she kept religiously through these 2.5 years. Of course, it ends before their arrest, just a few days before their arrest. So he comes back to tell us what happened after the arrest, and he tells us a very poignant, chilling tale of their eventual demise, each one of them.
That is Eve Musin, UMBC Theater Professor and Director of The Diary of Anne Frank at Chesapeake Shakespeare Company. Here on The Record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cass. The play opens Friday. Also with us is Leslie Malin, Managing Director and the actor playing the part of Edith Frank, Anne's mother. You mentioned the 1955 play having been revised. What are the big differences?
The diary itself was published in English in 1952. It was very quickly adapted. People felt it needed to reach as wide an audience as possible. At the time, I think there was a kind of universalist feeling, right? We wanted to show that all people were the same. And so that version doesn't have a lot to do with Anne's Judaism. She's depicted as the universal young girl, and it's rather a sweet portrayal of this young girl. The 1997 version, which we're doing, injects much more of Anne's Judaism and the family's Judaism into the play. And also her growing up in frankly, her sexual identity as a young girl, growing up, going through adolescence in this incredibly claustrophobic place. And she talks about her body developing. She talks about menstruation. She talks about what it feels like to have a body in this tiny space where all these bodies are pressed up against each other. And in a way, her body is her private self, right? So our version of the play brings those two things into focus. And also, I think our play underscores that she's not just a universal young girl. She's not just a girl growing up under these extreme particular circumstances of being a Jewish young girl, but she's also a burgeoning artist. And her diary is this sort of amazing literary piece of work, too, that scholars remind us that it's a quite artfully crafted document. It isn't just the extempore writings of a young girl. She actually revised the diary while she was in the last year that they lived there for publication.
She hoped it would be.
They heard on the radio that the Dutch Office of Education wanted to collect all kinds of documents of regular people during the war, diaries, letters, newspaper clippings. They wanted to, you know, archive that. She heard that, the family heard that, and she got right to work.
Leslie, what do you hope audiences will come away with from viewing the play?
I hope that audiences will feel what it's like to be in such peril and yet in such ordinary circumstances all at the same time, and yet the extraordinarily high stakes. And what I really hope is that people think again about how easy it is to turn regular people into the enemy.
Eve, what are you hoping audiences take from the theater?
I also like to think that the audience might think about what would they do if they were confronted with this. Would they harbor their neighbors? We see some characters who are helping the Franks hide, bringing them supplies. I'm wondering if we would ask ourselves the question, would we be those people? Would we harbor our neighbors? What is our everyday courage and heroism?
Thank you both.
Thank you so much.
Sheila. Eve Musin is UMBC theater professor and director of The Diary of Anne Frank at Chesapeake Shakespeare Company. Leslie Malin is managing director and actor playing the part of Edith Frank, Anne's mother. The Diary of Anne Frank was written by Francis Goodrich and Albert Hackett and adapted by Wendy Kesselman. It opens Friday at the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company, 7 South Calvert Street in Baltimore. It will run through May 26th. John DeMond, Jr., a Baltimore librarian who has spent more than 25 years researching Anne Frank's life, will lead pre-show conversations on May 4th, 11th, 16th, and 26th. We've talked about the host of events happening in the coming weeks as part of Spring of Remembrance, and we have a link to more information about all of them at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cast. After the break, we'll continue our overview of Spring of Remembrance when we talk with the director of a play called Anne and Emmett at Morgan State University. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about Anne Frank, the Holocaust victim and diarist. With her family, she lived in hiding for 2 years, trying to escape arrest by the Nazis, but only her father survived. Had she lived, Anne Frank would turn 90 7 weeks from now, June 12th. Several arts organizations in Baltimore have staged performances or exhibits as part of a Spring of Remembrance that invokes Anne Frank's memory and commemorates the Holocaust. We spoke earlier with Chesapeake Shakespeare Company performer and managing director Leslie Malin and Eve Musin, who's directing The Diary of Anne Frank there. Joining us now is Reggie Phoenix, associate professor of theater at Morgan State University. He's directing the play Anne and Emmett, written by Janet Langhart Cohen. It opens Friday in the Turpin Lam Theater in the Murphy Fine Arts Center at Morgan State. Before joining the Morgan State faculty, Phoenix was associate professor of theater and artistic director of the Casino Theater at Salve Regina University in Newport, Rhode Island. Welcome to the show, Reggie.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
What is the play Anne and Emmett about?
Anne and Emmett is an imagined conversation between Anne Frank and Emmett Till, both of who were killed when they were 14 and 15, respectively, where they meet and they discuss the similarities, the many similarities they have in common, particularly surrounding the issues of persecution that they were both met with in their lifetimes. It explores some of the parallels in their persecution, really. It explores the different but very similar ways in which progressively they were made to feel other than human, starting with being moved into ghettos, the ideas that Jews were then asked to wear stars on their yellow stars on the front and back of their clothing. And Emmett says, well, we didn't have to wear a star because of the color. We have the color of our skin, so we're easily identifiable. They joke about how they were both made to sit in the back of movie theaters in the balconies. And then they get into a much deeper conversation about the racial hatred that they endured and the racial hatred that ultimately led to both of their murders.
Remind us about Emmett Till and what happened to him.
Well, Emmett Till was a young 15-year-old boy from Chicago.
African-American.
African-American boy in Chicago. During the summer of 1955, he went down to visit his uncle and cousins who worked on a plantation. One day, they entered a candy store, and attempting to show how cool he was as a northerner, he whistled at a white woman. And that, in turn, marked him for death, basically. Mm. Several days later, he was picked up from his uncle's house and was taken to a barn where he was tortured in unimaginable ways. A gin fan was tied around his neck. He was shot and thrown in the Tallahatchie River.
And he was 14 years old.
He was 15 years old. And because of this, his mother had his body sent up to Chicago, and because of the awful and brutal nature of his murder, she decided that she would have an open casket funeral to show the world the hatred and brutality which was rained down on her son. And it could be said that this was the spark of the what we now know as the civil rights movement.
The playwright Janet Langhart Cohen takes that story, that backstory, and the backstory of Anne Frank, and creates a conversation.
Yes. What she speaks to is the idea that if we don't remember these horrific events of the past, if we don't remember these people, and if we don't remember some of the lessons we learn, then they're very likely to be repeated. One of the constructs of the play is that they're in this place called memory.
That's the setting.
That's the setting, which is neither heaven nor hell nor purgatory. It's this place where as long as people remember you, you are conscious. You are conscious of the past. You are conscious of the present. And you are conscious of everything that those who remember you think. So it's a really interesting construct, and it allows for a really, it's odd to even say charming dialogue between the two. But we get to know them both, and as they are able to share each other's stories and really empathize with each other, having not known that other people suffered similarly to them. So it's an extraordinary lesson in kindness, in humanity. More than that, it speaks to the idea that inaction on our part is no longer possible.
That's Reggie Phoenix, Associate Professor of Theater at Morgan State University. Here on The Record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the play he's directing called Anne and Emmett at the Murphy Fine Arts Center at Morgan State University. It opens Friday. Who are the performers?
Our Anne is played by Carly DeGillis. James Gullman plays the role of Emmett.
So these must be very young.
These are young people. James is a freshman theater major at Morgan State in addition to being in the Army National Reserve. Carly is a junior at the Baltimore School of Arts High School. And then we have two semi-professional artists. Marla McKinney-Smiley plays Mamie.
Emmett's mother.
And Brian Naughton plays Otto Frank, Anne's father.
We have a short clip from a past performance at the National Museum of African American History and Culture. Emmett starts the dialogue.
In America, your religion isn't as important as what color you are. It only matters if you're white. And in America, your people get to be white.
So you're comparing who suffered more?
I'm not saying
just
that.
Just remember, while you were trying to get into the officer clubs, we were trying to stay out of the office.
And we both ended up dead.
Is this characteristic of the conversations the two have, comparing suffering, race versus religion?
It isn't so much a play about comparison. It's a play about the equality of each of their suffering, you know, the depths of desperation, the depths of degradation that they both were exposed to. And I mean, they each have legitimate arguments for why they feel that their individual state was as important as the others. So I don't think it's an argument that is ever answered. It's a really deep and powerful discussion. It's two people really working through these thorny issues. It's two young people having the most serious of exchanges and heartfelt exchanges, intellectual exchanges. And I think that benefits everyone.
Why did Morgan State decide to mount this production?
What's happening, in fact, is that many people don't remember who Anne Frank is. Still fewer people know who Emmett Till is. And to coin a phrase from the show, if they stop remembering, we disappear. And so I think it's a way to bring this information to a new audience, to a younger audience, to expose them, to reactivate the idea that we are all citizens of this world and that if we don't actively participate and engage civically, that we're wasting our voice, we're wasting our vote. You know, we're wasting our ability to actually impact the world we live in.
So what do you hope audiences take away from the performance?
First of all, I hope that we remember the causes behind each of these horrible murders, the race-based hatred, especially because we're seeing a rise in it. We're seeing a rise in anti-Semitism. I don't know if I would even call it a rise in black killings, but a continuation of the black killings. And I think it's asking us to have these hard conversations about what kind of world we want to live in and how we want to participate in it.
I'm really grateful to you for talking to us about it. Thank you.
It is my absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Reggie Phoenix, Associate Professor of Theater at Morgan State University, is directing Anne and Emmett, written by Janet Langhart Cohen, in the Turpin Lamb Theater at the Murphy Fine Arts Center at Morgan State University, 2201 Argonne Drive. It opens this Friday, April 26th, and the next evening's performance on Saturday is a benefit for the Maryland Lynching Memorial Project. The play, Anne and Emmett, runs through May 4th. We've got more information about it at the On the Record page at WIPR.org, as well as information about Spring of Remembrance, arts events commemorating the Holocaust and what would be Anne Frank's 90th birthday in June. Another event reflecting on the Holocaust will take place next week when Eva Kaur, who with her twin sister Miriam survived experiments by Dr. Joseph Mengele at the Birkenau death camp, will speak in Easton. The free event will start at 6:30 on Wednesday, May 1st at the Avalon Theater, 40 East Dover Street in Easton. Mrs. Kaur is famous and controversial for saying she forgives Nazis, including Mengele. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you're with us on The Record. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.